Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today on the show, we start Timberwolves player season reviews. We're going to look at some of the guys towards the end of the bench in their limited time on the floor. How did they perform, including rookie Leandro Bolmaro? And based on their performance this year, will they be on the roster next year? And what's the outlook for the 2022-2023 season? It's all coming up on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Thursday, everybody. And thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find Locked On Wolves. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at BBeacon. That's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right. Today on the show, I want to start the player review series. We're going to look back at the season. Every single player on the Timberwolves roster will spend the amount of time we spend on each player will basically be dictated by how important they were to the team and really how many minutes they played. And for every player, I want to do basically what was notable about their performance this year. How did they perform relative to their expectations, right? And because what's a successful season for one player is going to look very differently than a successful season for, I don't know, Patrick Beverley is different than Karl-Anthony Towns, is different than Jalen Noel, right? I mean, they all have had different expectations coming into the season and, of course, had differing results as well. And then we'll look at the outlook for next year, the contract situation for each player, the possibility they could be traded. So today, we're actually going to hit kind of really the bottom chunk of the roster. I want to look at going in reverse order of minutes played. So a handful of guys towards the end of the bench. We'll include Leandro Bolmaro. We'll get to him here in just a few minutes. I think he's probably the most notable among this group. So let's go ahead and start. By the way, so we'll do a few guys today. We'll do a few more for Friday's show. And then next week, we'll kind of get into the rotation players. And we'll do two to three per show. And then we'll likely do an entire show on the starting lineup, each individual starter for the Timberwolves. And that will be mid to late next week. Let's start today's show with the end of the bench. I don't want to really spend much time on Greg Monroe. He obviously won't be back. He spent two different stints with the team, the one at the end of December when he played well in a couple of games, and then he was on the roster for the playoffs as well, playing briefly in one playoff game. But he's not going to be back. He doesn't really make a lot of sense for this team. Obviously, the Wolves need front court depth. That's a conversation for another day. The idea of having a veteran, big-bodied guy who can rebound a little bit, you can run some offense through him if you really want to, that sort of a thing. It's a great idea. Monroe's not the answer long-term. The Wolves know that. And obviously they felt strongly about him as a locker room guy and just another depth option behind Karl-Anthony Towns. I think it's pretty unlikely he's back on the roster next year. So I don't want to spend a whole lot of time there. Although the front court depth is absolutely something that will need to be and will be addressed this offseason. The next least minutes played among guys that are still on the roster. We should talk about McKinley Wright. McKinley Wright actually played less minutes than Greg Monroe. He played only 19 minutes across five games, all garbage time minutes. And there's not a whole lot to say, of course, Minneapolis native on the two-way contract. We can look at how he did in the G League here in just a minute. But in his five NBA games, you know, there's really not much we can take from that. Obviously, as a whole, he was supposed to be a strong defender, a decent offensive player. He's a little bit small. The Wolves never needed him because their point guard depth, even though Patrick Beverley sat out several games, D'Angelo Russell was relatively healthy this season. D'Lo played in 65 of 82 games, so I guess he did miss 17. But the times when it wasn't often that Russell and Beverley were both out at the same time, and the Timberwolves managed that because Jalen Noel played some point guard and played well, and of course, Jordan McLaughlin had a great season. Briefly earlier in the season, like November, early December timeframe, Leandro Bolmaro played a little bit of point as well. But McKinley Wright was never really called upon to do much he wasn't called upon to do anything beyond garbage time. In terms of his season in the G League, he, across 24 games, all starts, he averaged 36.7 minutes, 19.5 points per game. And the shooting numbers were actually pretty efficient. 45.6% from the field is fine for a guard. 36.4% from beyond the arc. So pretty much like league average at the NBA level. Shot 81% at the free throw line. Got to the line about 2.5 times per game. Looking at the rate base numbers, about a little over a third of his field goal attempts were threes, which is about right for a guy who can shoot league average from there. You'd like the steal rate to be a little higher. You'd like the turnover rate to be a little bit lower, but the assist rate's good. The rebound rate's fine for his position. The advanced stats say he was solid in the G League, and obviously averaging 19.5 points per game across 24 games, that's nothing to sneeze at for the Iowa Wolves. And so a good season for him in the G League. And, you know, all things considered, this was, two games below 500, Iowa was. So, you know, it's always possible he comes back. You can sign somebody to a second two-way contract, as the Wolves did in Jordan McLaughlin last season with Jordan McLaughlin. So it's possible. I don't see him getting anything more than that. There could be another team that maybe has more opportunity for him that looks at him as a two-way type guy. I'd be surprised if he got a guaranteed deal anywhere going into next season. But a solid season for McKinley Wright at the G League level. The other guy to talk about here towards the end of the bench is Jake Lehman. Won't spend a lot of time on him either. He only played in 34 games. He did get one start towards the beginning of the season. And, I mean, was never a rotation guy. There was that brief start and a couple of other games where they were a little low on depth early in the season. But he was a couple of times change of pace, but mostly a garbage time guy, win or lose, you know, fourth quarter. And that was just kind of his role this season on the team. The Wolves are much deeper than they were when he signed his contract almost 3 years ago. Remember, that was the sign and trade deal with Portland, one of Gerson Rosas's, maybe even Rosas's first move in charge of the Timberwolves front office. And I mean, Lehman, for what he is at a, you know, say a vet minimum contract, which he wasn't getting paid much more than that, is a fine depth piece because he can play the three and the four. He can be a decent three-point shooter as a streaky guy. He can be a decent switchable defender. Still athletic, although he'll be 28 next season. So, you know, towards the back half of the prime of his career, surely, and had some injury issues, of course, last season when he started the year in the rotation, got hurt and found his way out of the rotation. But as a cutter and a defender, I mean, you could have a worse guy in terms of a depth piece. When he got on the floor, it didn't really matter because it was garbage time, but he didn't do a whole lot and didn't perform all that well in garbage time. There was nothing really notable there. But Jake Lehman is probably exhibit A of the Timberwolves from 3 years ago to the Timberwolves now, just the depth, right? Lehman was a part-time starter, a full-time rotation guy. And now he was 3 years younger and the Timberwolves and Lehman had just signed the contract. The roster was far shallower then than it is now. But Jake Lehman will find a home somewhere. So he's going to latch on very likely. Someone will want him on the end of their bench, or he'll just kind of float out there and maybe it's after training camp or midway through training camp when teams find out if they've got injuries, et cetera. But Jake Lehman will be on a roster next season. I still think that he has enough talent to be on the fringes of an NBA roster and be kind of an emergency fill-in type guy. I think that that is still there for him. So a pretty nondescript season for Jake Lehman. Okay, next I want to look at a couple more guys as we start to get into players who saw rotation minutes for the Timberwolves this year. So we're going to do that here next as we continue through the roster. First, let's talk about our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, and of course, this coming weekend's Run to the Roses as the Kentucky Derby is back. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. It's a ton of fun, even if you're not betting, to just follow along with the lines at betonline.net with these NBA games. It's fascinating to see the fluctuation home versus away. And of course, we talked about this before, but the lines throughout the Wolves Nuggets series were pretty accurate and interesting to see what's going on with, especially at this point. Did I say Wolves Nuggets? Wolves Grizzlies series. I don't know why I said the Nuggets. But Grizzlies Warriors, super interesting to see how those lines are trending as well. Head to the website today. Again, that's betonline.net, or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Make sure to go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft. mock drafts, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Now's the time to lock in on the NBA draft if you're a Timberwolves fan. We're about 6-7 weeks away from the draft, and it's about time to dust up on the big boards, on the college prospects, all that stuff. The Wolves, of course, have the one first rounder, but also 3 second-round picks in this draft. So they're going to pick at least one player, probably at least two players in this year's draft. So make sure to listen to the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast. Okay, couple more guys to talk about here on today's show as we move backwards in terms of minutes played through the roster. Okay, so we've talked about Monroe, we've talked about Wright, we've talked about Lehman. So next up is Leandro Balmaro. Leandro Balmaro was drafted, of course, the same year as Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels. This was in November of 2020, that weird November draft after the COVID shortened the bubble season going into the shortened 2021 season. Balmaro stayed in, went to Europe to play in the EuroLeague, was named the most outstanding player, which is really kind of more, or most spectacular player, I think was the award. So really kind of best passes, fun to watch, et cetera, is what he did in his year in the EuroLeague. And then came over this year. I actually thought when he came over, he had a shot at earning more rotation minutes than he ultimately played. I think the Timberwolves pretty quickly found out that, hey, he's still pretty raw. The expectations, though, were that he could come in and be a plus defender when called upon. Maybe it was an 8 to 10 minute a game role, play some in the G League, et cetera. And based on what he did in the G League, in EuroLeague last year, the expectation was he'd be able to knock down an open jumper. Remember when he was picked almost exactly a year and a half ago, the consensus was, he's a playmaker. He can be a good defender. He's big. He's got enough athleticism. Really, the only concern was does he really have enough athleticism to be elite at the NBA level, or would that cap him as kind of, you know, a fringe starter level player, which of course isn't a bad thing, especially with a late first round pick. And or would he be able to shoot the ball? Because his last professional season before the Timberwolves drafted him, he shot roughly 30% from three. So there was some legitimate concern. The shot, you know, the release point's not great. Kind of a slow shot. There were some concerns about, would that transfer to the NBA? Well, then in EuroLeague, he all of a sudden was shooting over 40% from three, and obviously a different brand of play there than in the NBA. But the thought was, hey, if this guy can be at least an average spot-up shooter, he can do almost everything else. And if he can truly be a solid on-ball defender in the NBA, we could plug him in and he could be a rotation guy immediately. Well, the Wolves didn't ask him to be a rotation guy immediately, but he went down to the G League, had a couple of really good games, and when the Timberwolves ended up shorthanded in mid-late November, he found himself starting a couple of games for the Wolves. He was a major rotation piece, ran the point some as well, had a couple of really nice stretches. There was that game, I think it was the Sixers game. He played a lot of minutes against the Sixers, against the Wizards, again, November timeframe, and there was one really good game in there, but the problem was opposing defenses immediately started challenging him to shoot threes. And it was even more so than watching the Timberwolves with Ricky Rubio on the floor in either one of Rubio's stints in Minnesota, where the opposing team was just daring him, like, hey, shoot the three, we're going to let you. And Balmaro, for the most part, acquiesced to that. He shot more threes than he probably should have this season for the Wolves. Grand scheme, what was his three-point rate? It was 33.3%. So a third of his NBA shot attempts were threes. He shot just 27.8% on 3-point attempts, and overall from the field, just 31.5%, which is of course horrific. I don't think there's any other way to say it, but he shot 33% on twos, 28% on threes. And, the free throw rate actually wasn't all that bad. He got to the line quite a bit when he was on the floor and shot 85% from the line when he got there. The other thing that was positive, the rebound rate was very good. It was actually like fifth on the Timberwolves. Obviously a small sample, 35 games played. And in those games, what did he average in terms of minutes per game? I lost it here. What was his minutes per game? Just under 7 minutes per game. So a lot of garbage time in there. But again, a couple of starts, a couple of rotation games on top of that, games in the rotation on top of that. And the biggest concern for me was he looked a little bit overwhelmed defensively, which if he can't hold his own defensively, then it's going to be hard to keep him on the floor because of the other issue, which is the spot-up shooting. Now, the creative passing was on display a couple of times. The big body and kind of the anticipation, the ability to see things before they happen, that was effective defensively, and I do see him as a very switchable defender moving forward. I think there's a real chance the Timberwolves give him every opportunity to win a rotation role next season. Josh Okogie we'll talk about next here, or I guess we'll talk about him probably on Friday's show. Okogie is going to be gone. He's an unrestricted free agent. He's not going to be on the team moving forward. Now, he was kind of the 10th, 11th guy anyway, so Bomaro could slide up a couple slots on the bench to that role and see some minutes in you know, special situations at the end of quarters, in games with guys in foul trouble. Here and there, he could find his way into some more minutes. I think that's the most likely role for him next year is fringe rotation guy. I will say, I mentioned this on, I think, Monday's show this week. Of all the Timberwolves, of all the guys on the roster, Bomaro's probably almost certainly one of the top two or three guys in terms of likelihood to be traded this offseason. I don't think anyone's banging down the Timberwolves' door saying, let's trade for Leandro Bomaro, but I do think he's got plus trade value. He's got positive trade value. And as a recent first-round pick who's just 21 years old, he turns 22 this fall in September, there is appeal to the guy who is just the 23rd overall pick in the draft. He has a lot of things to like about his game. And then also factor in the fact that the Timberwolves don't have that many guys that are truly tradable on the roster. I mean, again, the quick overview is Towns isn't going anywhere. Edwards isn't going anywhere. Beverly's not going anywhere at this point. Malik Beasley is another guy who could be traded. I don't think D'Lo teams aren't coming after him, although the Wolves would be open to trading him. Vanderbilt, McDaniels, Noel, McLaughlin, these guys all have contracts that are too valuable for them to actually be traded. The value is too great for the Wolves. So you're really looking at Beasley and Bomaro as the two guys that have the probably the highest trade value and likelihood to be traded, with D'Lo then also being in that conversation as well. I do think Bomaro has value. There's a chance he gets traded. Maybe it's Bomaro and a second rounder for a nice first round pick in this draft. I don't think the Wolves would do that because, you know, adding two first rounders to this roster probably isn't solving the problem, which you need experience. You need some of this other stuff. I don't think it's likely, but perhaps the value is there. Maybe the Timberwolves have a guy that they really like in this upcoming draft. That's always a possibility. I think the most likely scenario is he's on the roster on the fringe of the rotation in the fall, but there is a chance he's traded maybe as part of something bigger, right? Maybe it's, the Wolves need the roster spot as they trade D'Lo somewhere else and they're taking back some additional contracts and they need to free up a roster spot. So perhaps Bomaro is included at that point. I put it at probably a little better than 50-50 that Leo's on the roster in the fall, but there's a chance he's moved. And I would have to say in the 35 games he played, it was a little bit disappointing this season, I think, relative to expectations. But obviously, his first season stateside, his age 21 season, you know, he's 21 years old all season long. So there's plenty of reasons for him to not be exactly dominant in the U.S. I should also underscore, though, the issues that I was worried about based on his NBA performance. He started 16 games in Iowa. He averaged just under 13 points per game. He shot only 43% from the field in the G League and just 27.7% on three-point attempts in the G League. He had a couple of really nice games early in the season, but as the year went on, when he did get his short stints down in Iowa, it was less than impressive, frankly. And the defense wasn't much better. I mean, the defense was okay, but it wasn't great. The free throw rate, as good as it was at the NBA level, was not there in Iowa. He was more than content to launch threes. 43% of his G League field goal attempts came from outside the arc. And again, he shot just 27.7% on threes. He averaged less than a free throw attempt per game in 16 games, 12 free throw attempts in 16 games. So he actually played better at the NBA level than he did it at the G League level outside of those first couple games of the season. So very worrisome, in my opinion. I do think the Wolves, they don't want to sell low on him. Again, I don't think they just gave him away. So odds are he's like the 10th, 11th guy coming into next season, and the Wolves give him an opportunity to at least win a fringe rotation spot on Chris Finch's bench at the NBA level. But will be interesting to see, and certainly a chance he gets traded as well. All right, one more play to talk about here on today's show, so we're going to do that here next. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Rock Auto. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could possibly need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil to even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, let's close this thing out by talking about Nate Knight. Nate Knight, of course, the Wolves' other two-way player. We already talked briefly about McKinley Wright IV earlier in the show. Nate Knight ended up more in the rotation than anybody else we've talked about because he was pressed into duty with a couple of starts at the end of December when the team had the massive, you know, COVID outbreak. What, 8 of the top 9 guys in the rotation all ended up in COVID protocols. And so Nate Knight ended up in the rotation, and I'm going to read a couple of his lines there when he played very well. What he did this season for the Wolves was even better than what he did last year in some serviceable minutes for the Atlanta Hawks. Remember, he was briefly a rotation guy there, and even I appeared in playoff games, if I'm not mistaken. He appeared in 3 playoff games for the Atlanta Hawks last year. No, I take that back. He appeared in 6 playoff games for the Atlanta Hawks last season. He, from the beginning, was a good signing by the Timberwolves, and he was really good when he got into games. The biggest thing was he was a beast on the glass, especially the offensive glass, but all the way around, a 17.1% rebound rate, which in context of the Timberwolves as a team, ranked right up there ahead of Karl-Anthony Towns and only behind Jared Vanderbilt in terms of total rebound rate. 17.8% for Vando. Nate Knight was 17.1%, 12.5% on the offensive glass, which is phenomenal. And so he was just always around the rim, always grabbing rebounds, was physical despite being a little bit undersized. He's really probably only about 6'9", and pressed into duty as center more often than playing center is more often than not. In his 2 starts, which were back at the end of December. So before that, he'd only played a couple of games rotation minutes when there were some injuries. I believe Nas missed a game and Karl-Anthony Towns had a couple of things where he missed games, and then eventually the COVID thing. So Knight came off the bench when Nas started and Towns had COVID. At Dallas, at Utah, at the end of December, he turned in an 8.3 rebound game in the loss at Utah, which was a solid performance. Then Nas comes down with COVID, and Nate Knight has to start that home game against Boston. Remember this game? This was kind of the Jalen Noel breakout, the Greg Monroe having signed that day. The Timberwolves won the game 108-103 in just a really kind of an ugly game. But Nate Knight was fantastic. He had 20 points and 11 rebounds in 29 minutes, shot 8 of 11 from the field, knocked down his 2 3-point attempts, pitched in 4 assists, a block, and a steal. That was also the game Jalen Noel came off the bench and scored 29. And Greg Monroe had 11 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists in 25 minutes off the bench. It was also the only game that Chris Silva played in a Timberwolves uniform. So the Wolves essentially used an 8-man rotation, including Jake Layman playing heavy minutes off the bench, and Chris Silva playing, period, was the only game he appeared in. So at any rate, in the 2 games, and then he started the following game against the Knicks, which was just a bad all-around game for Minnesota. It was the very next night. He had just 8-7 in 25 minutes, started that game as well, and then played a few more games in the rotation, wasn't quite as effective as the season wore on, and then was back to kind of being out of the rotation, on the bench, deep bench, only played 3 more games where he played double-digit minutes the rest of the season. In the season finale, though, against the Bulls, Knight had 17 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists in just 16 minutes. So when given the minutes, Knight produced. And again, the work on the glass is the most impressive thing. He can play inside and out. He's a solid defender and is relatively switchable. He's a little more mobile than Karl-Anthony Towns, which is obviously very helpful. It allows the Wolves to do a few more things defensively. But all things considered, a promising year for Nate Knight. It would not be a surprise to me if the Timberwolves tried to find a way to bring him back, I mean, preferably on a 2-way deal to allow them some flexibility. But I'd imagine that the Wolves would entertain the idea of bringing him back on something of an actual contract, right? An actual NBA deal. Hard to say what the market's going to be. I mean, there could be teams that are willing to actually pay him. I do think he's got a future. Remember, Nate Knight is a very young player still. This was his age 24 season. He turns 25 in September. He's got a couple of seasons under his belt now. It would not surprise me if there was a team that said, hey, we're willing to give him a portion of our, you know, I don't know if it's going to be one of the exceptions that a team has available or you know, a biannual or a mid-level exception. I don't know how much money he'd actually make, but he was really good this year. So good. He only spent one game in the G League, by the way, as a two-way player. He spent the entire season almost on the Wolves bench for depth purposes. In his one G League game this year, he had 33 points, 12 rebounds, and shot 52% from the field. So he is an NBA player. I think this season he could easily be the fourth big on a solid playoff team and has a future. I think he's got a shot at becoming like a third big, a true rotational big on a good team, maybe even a starter down the road. I think that's all completely reasonable to consider for Nate Knight's future. So all that to say, he is a restricted free agent as a two-way player. Both he and McKinley Wright will have an opportunity to come back if the Wolves try and bring them back. But as RFAs, they could go somewhere else. The Wolves could choose not to match an offer. And I do think there's going to be interest, you know, different Knight and Wright are in different boats. I think Knight has some interest on the free agent market. I'm not sure that Wright necessarily will. So TBD on if Knight's back with the Wolves. I certainly think the Wolves would have interest in bringing him back, but what does the competition look like for Knight's services on the open market? All right, that's all we have for you today. We're going to keep going through the roster here the rest of the week. Josh Okogie's upcoming, and then we'll get into some of the guys that were actually in the rotation and look at their outlooks, you know, performance from this year, the outlook moving forward, and go from there. That's all we have for you today. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube. Thank you for making this show your first listen every day. A reminder, you can follow and listen to this show anywhere, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Odyssey. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. And as long as you're making us your first listen, please consider your second listen to be Locked On NBA. From the first jump ball, the play-in, to the last possession of the finals, Locked On experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.